Hey friends, on today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast, I want to have a bit of a conversation around what we usually call incident or accident investigation. Let's jump right on in. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at The Hop Nerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Hello, everybody. Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC, and hopefully you know this, but this is the Hop Nerd Podcast, and you are here. I am here talking to you right now, and if you found yourself in the wrong place, thanks for joining us, I guess, but welcome to the Hop Nerd Podcast. I want to talk a bit today about accident investigation. And what really drove me to have this conversation, I had a great conversation with Ryan Costello last week. And if you haven't tuned into that, you should. You should probably pause this and then just go back and listen to that episode. And it is a long one, and it's a long, good one. We talked about all kinds of stuff. It was just a blast of a conversation. But pause this, go back, listen to that one, and then probably come back here. But that's really what drove me to have this conversation today. It was just a really interesting chat that we had. And now, before we dive into that, though, do me a favor, head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com. Follow along on all things social media. If you need a hand with human and organizational performance, you know how to get in touch, thehopnerd@gmail.com. If you're curious about the stuff that I help folks with, you can check out the website. But it's human and organizational performance, operational learning, workshops, coaching, consulting, keynotes, and everything in between. If you've got an idea for how you'd like for me to help you, or if you got that keynote coming up, that event that you're putting on at your organization, or you want some help facilitating some operational learning, or you want to talk hop basics, hop fundamentals, you want me to spend some time with your safety folks, with your leaders, and everything in between, just shoot me an email, shoot me a quick note, and we'll jump on the horn and we'll talk about it. I'm happy to have that conversation, and we'll see if I can help you. It would be a fun time. I would be absolutely honored to come out and support your organization on its hop journey. Now, if you are listening to this thing, I'm on vacation, I think, at this point. So send me an email, and you can test this to find out if I'm on vacation, because you should get one of those OOOs, right? The OOO, you know what I'm talking about, out of office. Yeah, you should get one of those coming back at you. And it'll probably take me a little bit to get to you. And if I reply to you before about 2 weeks from now, I want you to cuss at me. Really, I want you to yell at me. I want you to say, WTF, why are you sending me a reply? Because you're on vacation and you should be enjoying your time with your family, hiding in the mountains from all of this. So please, please hold me to this, because I'm bad. I'm bad at it. I'm a self-described workaholic, and I don't think that it's toxic. I just really enjoy what I do for a living. I'm passionate about it, so much so that I get really deep into it, and then I have to pull myself out of it very deliberately and put up some of those walls and be like, nope. Cell phone's going in the drawer. Computer, I might go with me, but I'm going to give the charger to Avery. That's probably going to be my move. Is here, Avery, you hold on to the charger, and you decide if I get to use the computer or not. You decide if it's good enough of a reason. So this is a long way of saying that it might take me a second to get back to you, because I'm out. I'm recharging. I've pre-recorded these podcasts just to make sure that these keep happening, because they're valuable and you enjoy them, and I enjoy doing them, and I'm going to make sure that we just don't stop while I'm gone. I've preloaded, I hope by this point I've preloaded some stuff over on social media, so you will see posts happening and podcasts happening, but I'm gone fishing. The lights are on, but nobody's home. There's nothing happening. I do have a couple public events coming up that I'd like to share with you, so make sure you check these out. I've got the Hawkeye on Safety Conference coming up. I believe that is in Iowa in September. September. So check that out for sure. And then I've got a local event happening here with the Arizona ASSP. I think it's their PDC, more acronyms for you. Not that we don't give you enough if you don't know ASSP, PDC, ABC, 123, right? Yeah, so check that out there. That's going to be a ton of fun. It's always cool to get to do some stuff in my backyard here in the greater community, right here on my doorstep. It's a ton of fun. It's an absolute blast. So if you're interested in those, make sure you just Google those. You can find out how you can attend and all of that stuff. There's also some stuff coming up later on in this fall that I can't quite talk about yet. But it looks like there's going to be some, at least one, maybe two opportunities for some public stuff happening. Yeah, so you can come hang out with me and at least another person, maybe more. I don't know yet. I don't know. It's still in the planning phases here. We're still kind of filling it out. But I can tell you to be on the lookout for something more towards the fall here, probably a bit closer to Halloween in that kind of time frame, and be on the lookout for it around, you know, the southwest here, not Phoenix, but I'm thinking in a really cool desert city that has a lot of fun things in it. So just you'll know. And the easiest way to know if those things happen, because again, no promises right now. The fall is stacking up to be wild and crazy, and we're just planning some of this stuff out to give you some more just open opportunities to come hang out and talk about HOP and talk about operational learning and all the cool stuff that we get to do. And really, for me, the most valuable part of all this, I know, like, we can't get together without a PowerPoint. It's a rule somewhere, I think. We can't get together without, you know, an agenda. You know, we've got to have a very strategic agenda of how we talk about HOP in a very excellent way. It's hard. I get it. I understand. And those things aren't bad. I'm not picking on them. I use a ton of PowerPoints and I work to a lot of agendas. I know. I get it. I get it. But my most favorite part is the hang. And that's going to be a priority for me around whatever these potential events happen, these potential public events that may or may not happen towards the fall here. It's just the hang. It's just us getting together. And yeah, we'll do all that normal stuff, but just the ability for us to get together as a group of folks and have conversations, like, man, it's powerful. I don't know if you experience this, but when I go to conferences, when I do this keynote stuff, when I teach workshops, it's great. I think we have some really great chats, and we talk about some really cool and interesting things. But the most interesting thing that happens are the conversations that happen in the margins, right? The in-betweens, where we're standing out in the hallway and we're just talking. So we're trying to make sure that hang is a central part of whatever these public events look like. It's got to be, right? Because it's just cool. So even if you're coming out, maybe not for the conversation, maybe not for some of the workshops that we'll probably do, maybe not for some of those things, just come on out. If it happens, come on out. And let's do the hang. We'll sit around and we'll drink coffee. And maybe at the right time of day, maybe we'll even drink a beer or two. I don't know. And we'll have some really, really, really interesting conversations about HOP and about how we humanize our approaches and about operational learning and about real deal stuff, like real world, how this stuff is working. And I think you're going to have an absolute blast. Now, the best way, I don't know if I quite got this out. This is where I was going. But the best way to know if this happens, and if it does, when it's happening and where it's happening, is to go sign up for the mailing list. Go to www.thehopnerd.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page. Click join the mailing list. Boom. Drop in your email. Super, super duper simple. And there you go. You'll start getting this once a week, roughly. I'll skip some. This once a week thing that I send out called the check-in, and it lets you know where I'm at. Well, first off, it tells you the latest podcast, a little bit about what it is. It will tell you where in the world I am, what I've got going on. And I share that with folks because if I'm coming to your hometown or your town and we're going to be in the same place at the same time, let's meet up. Let's grab a coffee. Let's talk. Let me buy you a steak, whatever. You know what I'm into. We'll have a really cool conversation. You can just show me the sights and we'll talk HOP or not HOP, everything in between. It's just fun. You know, and the second part of that is if you have local food recommendations, maybe you're not there, but you know that this is the place to eat or this is the place to get coffee. I would like to know those too. Yeah. You know how it goes when you're traveling. You lock yourself in your hotel room, and I've shared this with you. I don't like eating alone too much, so I DoorDash. And I'd sit there and I'd do work. And if you send me those recommendations, it gives me a good excuse to leave and go be a person and go check out some cool local spots. All for it. Absolutely all for it. And the third part of this is that if I'm coming there and I'm hanging out on Monday and Tuesday with a group of folks and you're going, hey, Sam, are you free Thursday? Can you swing by and do a session with us? Can you swing by and have a conversation with us? Hey, we've got this cool event happening on Friday. Would you mind hanging out till Friday and doing this? That happens all the time. So let me know if I'm already there, if I'm already there. Yeah. It's a great way for us to get together in a more formal way or the most fun, a more informal way. So sign up for that mailing list. It'll let you know the podcast, the latest videos, articles, and it'll let you know if this thing that I'm kind of hinting at around this fall is actually going to happen, when it's going to happen, and where it's going to happen. So great way to find out. So with all of that being said, let's jump right into today's episode. We were just having a great conversation last week with Ryan, and we got on this subject of instant investigation, and I was exploring a bit of this thought, and I'm going to explore it a bit farther here, I think, and a bit of a recap, too, at the same time, but I think it's really important, so I wanted to dedicate a bit of an episode here to it. Instant investigation, and some of where we were getting to was that in the past, and I struggle to even call it our more traditional approaches or this, you know, the normal words that we put on to describe some of these things. Let's just say in the past, we've looked at incident investigation as being like the holy grail of learning and improvement, right? Yeah. So we have something maybe not so great happen. We go out and it, for whatever reason, that level of severity, that what, you know, the whole list of reasons, what the things that trigger instant investigations. In many organizations I spend time with, the threshold is anything happens out of the normal, basically, right? Anything that happens out of the normal relating to something that we could even remotely classify as a safety something will trigger us to do some level of incident investigation. So now we move into incident investigation. And we do that more traditional thing where we go out and we do the who, what, when, where type of thing. We construct that retrospective understanding of the chain of events, right? We get a really good timeline. Yeah, at 7:59 a.m., Bob and Jane arrived at work. Good. 8 would have been late, right? And we go through this like step by step by step by step by step. And then we take this really, really, really hyper-focused something right here, just on the anomaly, on the event itself. And then we take that information and we say, okay, we've learned. We know exactly what happened. We know the who, what, when, where. We know kind of how we think this happened. Now we take this information, and usually as a group of safety practitioners, let's be honest, with little to no input from operations or other folks sometimes, right? And there's varying degrees of this, okay? Yeah, I get it. There are varying degrees. But primary driver, primary owner here being a group of safety professionals or a safety professional will take this and then lock themselves in their office and construct some corrective action report of some kind, right? Based on this understanding that we've gained. This, let's call it a very limited understanding. We understand the event. We understand that A plus B plus C equals D, right? We know that part. But what are we missing? We're missing the most interesting part. We're missing the context, right? We're missing the context related to the event. Now, none of this is to bash incident investigation. You probably thought you knew where I was going to go, especially if you didn't listen to the last episode. But it's probably not where you think. I'm not going to sit here and say that incident investigations are the devil and we need to get rid of these stupid things and they're fucking terrible. And sometimes, sure, yeah, I think we do what we do. What we tend to always do is stuff like this. We make them pointed. We weaponize them. We treat it back, even back to that word. I don't like that word. I think that's probably the biggest bash I'm going to put here is that, who doesn't love being investigated? Who doesn't love that? I mean, if the police show up at your door and they say, we're here to investigate you, aren't you just fucking excited? Aren't you just pumped? Because what does investigation mean? Investigation automatically sets the tone that we believe there's been some wrongdoing here. And we're here to investigate to see if there has been said wrongdoing committed. Now, if you're not doing nothing wrong, you don't have anything to worry about. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Lovely. Right. Absolutely lovely. So I don't like the word. I don't like the tone that it says. I don't like that it's pointed. But let's maybe reduce this down to something a bit more logical. If we're thinking about investigations through an ick, I know I'm just going to use the word because it's the word that we use. But if we're thinking about investigations through a bit more of human and organizational performance, if we're thinking about just strip hop out of it and let's just humanize all this a bit and let's just think about it a bit more logically, do we need to understand the event? I'm going to say I think so. Yeah, I don't think that's bad. I don't think it's bad to understand how an event unfolded. I don't think it's bad to see that chain of events, as long as we don't put too much weight into that. You know, just understanding this is how this played out. This is how we found ourselves here. I don't think that's bad. I don't think it's bad to understand the outcome of the event. I don't think any of that's bad. Where we were getting to with that conversation last week with Ryan, and again, I'm going to keep plugging this episode because it was just a freaking hoot. You should go back and listen to it. But where we really got to was this idea, is that when we're doing this investigation, and again, I think we need a better name, whether we call it a learning review or we call it, I don't know, come up with something better. If you have a better name, let me know. Please let me know. But we use that as a way to just establish a base level understanding of the event in particular. What I'm saying is that those more typical approaches to who, what, when, where, how, and gaining that base level of information through what we typically refer to as an event investigation, I think it's a good mechanism when it's not weaponized to gain that really basic event information, but it's a horrible way to tap into context. It's not a great way to come up with improvement strategies. So we've used it as kind of the one and done tool. Like, okay, I've got the who, what, when, where, how. I've got the chain of events. Now I should be able to solve this and fix the world problems and this should never happen again. And it's not very good at that. It's just not very good at that. Because what happens is it leads whoever's conducting that event investigation, usually conducting it in a vacuum with very little help from those that actually do the work, if any help from those that do the work, it leads them to lock themselves in a conference room and come up with ideas on how to, in a perfect world, maybe make this not happen again in this very specific set of circumstances, in this very specific context. But the problem is we don't even understand the context. We just have the retrospective understanding, and it leaves us making crap up. Yeah, of course it does, because we have to have 47 corrective actions, or else it's bad. We're doing terrible at doing safety stuff. Yeah, it's not good. It's not a great tool for that. It's a great tool for capturing that preliminary information. I think once we capture that basic information, though, and again, so I'm not demonizing event investigation. I think you should go out and get an understanding of it, but that takes all of about 10 minutes. And I know I'm reducing that down. Sometimes it takes a bit more, but it doesn't take a crap ton of effort. Once we get that information through that mechanism, whatever it is, that shouldn't just lead us to make up actions. It should lead us to ask a question. Is this learning rich? Is there more? Is there potentially more here? Which direction do we need to go? Really, we answer that question, is this learning rich? And then we ask a question, okay, yes, it's learning rich. What is the best tool in our little tool belt of operational learning? What's the best tool that fits here? What should we use? Is that some type of operational learning team in a informal way or a bit of a more formal way? Is that me going out and talking to these two operators and coming up with some really slick, cool ideas just through a great conversation, and then us micro-experimenting those and seeing if they work and going that way? Is that even maybe a root cause? Yeah, I know. But you get where I'm going. We have all of these different operational learning tools in our toolkit. Learning teams just being one of them. They're not a magic bullet. They're not some quick fix. They don't work everywhere. I think we have to acknowledge their limitations around certain things. And sometimes even they're too formal. We need to just go have that conversation with Jane and Bob, the ones that, you know, run this equipment. And Jane and Bob teach me, this happened. Let's understand context. Teach me about normal everyday work. How do you normally create success? You know, you got some ideas on how we can improve this to where that's far less likely from happening again. All right. So incident investigation gives us the basic information, just the basic information. We then have to, once we gain that basic information, once we get beyond respond and contain mode when an event happens, and we've gained that little bit of retrospective understanding, I think instead of just taking that and then using that little bit of retrospective understanding to then craft what we consider improvement strategies and corrective actions that we have created usually in a conference room somewhere far, 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 far away from the sharp end of work, I think we need to pause and ask the question. Is this learning rich, right? You with me so far? And then once we answer that question, yes or no, right? Okay, I think we've learned all we can learn with this accident investigation. I don't know that there's too much that we can do here, or, you know, the outcome is not all that severe and the potential outcome is not all that severe. Is it really worth us beating this thing to death and trying to come up with 47 corrective actions for it? The answer can be no, right? You realize that, right? But if it's yes, okay, what's the right tool to use here? What should we use here? Because it's not one size fits all. Is this a more formal learning team? Or do we need to have multiple more formal learning teams across the organization to really capture context related to this work? Or is it a more informal operational learning something? Is it a bit of a learning exploration where we just need to go get a really broad perspective on this? Or is it just me having that conversation with an operator or that person or that person? Or is it moving it into listening sessions or all these other things that we already have in our organization using mechanisms better sorted to tap into that context? And then once we have that basic retrospective understanding, we have that big lump of context, now we can work with those nearest to the work to co-create those improvements, those micro adjustments, those little improvements that just make things suck a bit less. We can work with them together to make work a little bit better. So to put a bow a bit on all of this, I'm not telling you to throw out your learning review process, because that's kind of what I tend to call it more than accident investigation. Your information gathering phase. That's really what I want you to think of this as. Your accident investigation shouldn't be information and problem solving. It should just be the information part. Right? Let's get that base level understanding of this event in this particular setting, in this particular thing. Right? Let's just get that basic understanding information. Take out the pointedness of it. Take out the weaponization of it. Don't view it as a way to investigate for wrongdoing, to find good or bad information. It's just to find information. And information is just information. It's not good or bad. It's just information. We just need information about this anomaly that occurred within our work world. Use it as an information gathering tool. Gather that basic information related to that event, that anomaly, that operational upset, that really operational surprise. And then ask that question. Okay, with this basic level understanding of the event, we understand the outcome that did occur. We understand potential outcomes that could occur. Is this learning rich? Should we dig deeper into this? And if the answer is yes, then use a tool that is better suited for creating improvement strategies, like a learning team, in a formal or less formal way. Like just getting some folks nearest to the work together and having a really cool conversation about the context that surrounds that work, and then working with them to create what improvement looks like, to working with them, tapping into the raw, the real, you know, the real deal story of normal work, warts and all, and then working with them to create what better looks like together. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast, the Hot Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com or send me an email, thehotnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.